This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE-FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We are on the air on Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available on podcast on your smartphone. Simply go to the podcast app and search for DC 37 State of the Union. You can also check out our website, www.dc37.net. We're on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can call the hotline, 212-815-7555, to keep up with union events. If you have any comments about our show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. That's stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Your feedback is always welcome. A little explanation before we go any further. We are taping this on Wednesday, June 20th. We have been waiting for most of this month for a decision from the Supreme Court of the United States on a case called Janus versus AFSCME Council 31. So there may be, by the time you hear this, a decision may have been made already. We've been awaiting this decision now. The case has been working up through the courts for the last 2 or 3 years. Joining us by phone now from Chicago is AFSCME Council 31 Executive Director Roberta Lynch. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be with you.
So, as I say, we've been waiting for this decision. This is something that the court can issue a decision on Monday or Thursday or pretty much any day that they want. But they do issue the decisions in June, which means that it's going to be sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Right. No later than June 30th. So we know that the days are numbered. And as you know well, this current Supreme Court majority has already issued several rulings that are antithetical to the interest of working people, and that's unfortunately not a good sign for this case. Originally, this issue was before the U.S. Supreme Court back in 1977 in a case known as Abood, and the court ruled then that the fair share fees that are at issue in this case were fully constitutional because the court recognized that if you benefit from all that the union achieves, then you should contribute toward those achievements by paying some form of fee. We hope and we want every single employee to be a full union member, but minimally, every single employee should, we believe, contribute to the cost of union representation. Now, led by Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner, a case has come before this Supreme Court seeking to say that, in fact, employees represented by a union in a union workplace can benefit from everything the union does, that their coworkers can contribute dues and be members of the union, but they can opt out and not pay anything at all. And of course, we don't think that's right.
And you just mentioned the Abood case. It was a case called Abood versus the Detroit Board of Education. It came to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1977, and the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of the folks' right to collectively bargain and come together in a union and to uphold this idea of everyone who's in the union has to pay some kind of fee for their representation. So this is what we're suggesting, I think, is that this is Janus versus AFSCME Council 31 is clearly a politically motivated case designed to rig the rules and to weaken unions.
And exactly. And, you know, Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner is himself a billionaire. He's allied with the Koch brothers and a shadowy network of the super rich that has set up phony think tanks all over this country. If you could see me, I would be putting think tanks in quotes, whose sole purpose is to try to destroy the voice of working people in this country, to wipe out unions and prevent working people from being able to try to level the playing field. Rich people in our country already have so much power, such a concentration of wealth. And unions are a critical vehicle, both for those who are part of them and for other workers. They represent one of the great levelers in this country, is sharing power, sharing wealth and resources, rather than allowing them to be ever more concentrated in the hands of the rich and powerful. From the day Bruce Rauner came into office, he launched an attack on labor unions in Illinois, particularly AFSCME, and he was very clear about his goal. He doesn't believe that unions should be able to exist. He doesn't believe that public employees have a right to union representation, or any worker for that matter, and he set up on a very systematic program to try to destroy us. I'm very glad to tell you that on the ground, he completely failed in that effort, and we beat him back at every point. But he thinks that this case that he originated...
Talk about that a little bit. Explain, I know you did on a previous show, but explain to us what he did when he came to office.
Well, one of the first things that he did when he came into office, I mean, within a month of taking office, was to issue an executive order banning fair share fees in state government, effectively saying that anybody who was a state employee didn't have to contribute anything toward the cost of union representation, and yet would continue to benefit from all the gains that the union made and would continue to be represented by the union and grievances and other matters. And we took him to court on that, and we said that it was not a legal executive order, and the court agreed with us and brought his executive order to a screeching halt. And by the way, Chris, just to point out to you, when he did that and he put out a notice telling state employees, guess what? You don't have to pay anything to the union. We actually had more than 1,000 people who were at that time paying fees to the union call us and say, how can I become a full dues-paying member? Because I can see that Bruce Rauner is trying to destroy my union, and I don't want to see that happen.
To hell with you, Bruce. I want to be a member.
So, but at that point, since we beat him back there, he went into federal court and filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of fair share fees and seeking to overturn the prior decision that you mentioned, the Abood case. And he went into federal court in Illinois, and following the same procedures that have been used by his allies in other cases, first of all, the court threw out, they wouldn't let Bruce Rauner have any standing in this case. They said, you don't represent anybody. You know, who are you? So Bruce Rauner found Mark Janis. I would point out that he could only find one state employee in the whole state of Illinois who wanted to carry water for him in this case. But he did find that one. And then they rushed the case through the courts with lightning speed. I'm sure you know, many, many people know, the wheels of justice normally grind exceedingly slow. But this case was rushed up to the U.S. Supreme Court since 1915. Here we are in 1918. It made it all the way through the federal court system and has already been heard by the U.S. Supreme Court.
You mean 2015 to 2018? You're saying 3 years, right?
So, exactly.
Okay. But let's be clear about this. The courts above, below the Supreme Court all ruled in favor of against the plaintiff, right? I mean,
right. But it's important to note the plaintiffs asked them to do that. They knew they didn't have a case that almost any federal judge would agree with. And so they effectively conceded their case at every point because, as you pointed out earlier, it's all about politics. And they just wanted to get before this U.S. Supreme Court, where Rauner has bluntly said that he's very confident that the majority on the court are going to side with him because they share his political outlook.
And let's take a step back, because a similar case was brought a couple of years ago to the Supreme Court, a case called Friedrichs. And that case was split in half, 4-4, because the other conservative vote on the Supreme Court Antonin Scalia passed away. So there was a split decision in that. And then Scalia's successor, or the person appointed by President Trump to the court, was Neil Gorsuch, correct?
Right, exactly.
So elections have consequences. I'm thinking we wouldn't be having this problem if President Hillary Clinton was around.
Right. And actually, we wouldn't have had this problem if we didn't have the shameful situation in the U.S. Senate where President Barack Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court to replace Justice Scalia was refused a hearing and a vote. So
he nominated Merrick Garland a year before the election before he left office, and they stymied that nomination.
Exactly.
I'm glad you brought that. Yeah, Merrick Garland was Barack Obama's appointee to the Supreme Court, and the U.S. Senate said we're not going to consider this man because Barack Obama is a lame duck, basically.
And of course, that was a Republican dominated Senate. They violated a tradition in the Senate that's been in place for well over a century in refusing to even consider the president's nominee. So that's what brought us to this point, a shameful display of a lack of upholding our democratic traditions, and of course a new president who is completely in sync with people like Bruce Rauner and the super wealthy who want to take power away from working people. In fact, it's important to note that in the Friedrichs case that you described, the Obama administration Justice Department had weighed in and filed a brief in support of the union's position in that case. While in the current case, the Janus case, the Trump administration Justice Department changed that position, switched sides, and has filed a brief in support of Mark Janus, Bruce Rauner, and their super wealthy allies.
We're talking with Roberta Lynch, who is the executive director of AFSCME Council 31. She's been the executive director since 2014. She previously served as deputy director for more than two decades. She's played a central role in all aspects of the union's activities and is also a vice president on the AFSCME International Executive Board. Let's take this into the perspective of the attack on unions. Private sector membership is at an all-time low. And so there is a case to be made that anti-union forces, won in the private sector because of the lack of unionization in the private sector. And the public sector was growing as the private sector was declining. So they sort of declared victory on the private sector and then targeted public employee unions. Is that a fair way of describing this? Or you want to talk?
Well, not completely,
okay.
I don't think. In this sense, Chris, that I think one of the most important things to realize about the decline of unions in the private sector is that it's very much linked to the export of American jobs. So it wasn't like workers abandoned unions or didn't want unions,
right,
but jobs abandoned workers.
Right.
In the public sector, where you can't just pick up and send jobs overseas, workers want unions. And we saw that, hundreds of thousands, millions of workers have joined unions in the public sector over the last five decades. And not only that, but I would even note that in cases, I suppose you could say that the comparison to outsourcing of jobs overseas in the private sector in basic industry would be in the public sector at privatization and outsourcing jobs to private companies. But even there, I would point out that those jobs still, for the most part, cannot go overseas. And when they're here, even with private companies, we've organized. Many of the workers have joined our union in instances where public sector work has been privatized, because if workers have a choice, if they have a choice, if they don't have an employer that's trying to beat them down, if their jobs are not at risk of disappearing, over and over again, we've seen workers choose to belong to unions. They want to have a voice on the job. They want to be able to make progress, economic progress, for themselves and their families.
We're talking with Roberta Lynch. She's the executive director of AFSCME Council 31. This is State of the Union. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone and search for DC 37 State of the Union. We're talking with Roberta Lynch. She's the executive director of AFSCME Council 31 in Illinois. We're talking about the Janus versus AFSCME Council 31 case that is currently being considered by the Supreme Court. A decision in that case may have already happened by the time you hear this. We're recording on Wednesday, January 20th, and the Supreme Court has any Monday or Thursday in June to decide, to announce decisions. Roberta, I wanted to talk a little bit about, we have known this case was coming. We knew this case when it was heard. It's been a couple of years getting to the Supreme Court. We have been skeptical of, for reasons we just discussed in the previous segment, as to what the outcome will be. However, you know, some folks use expressions like paralyzing unions and crippling unions. Actually, we've been working pretty damn hard to be closer in touch with members than ever before, I'd say, or certainly in many, many years. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think it is, but I do think it's important to stress, I know for our union, I know in DC 37, we're constantly searching for ways to communicate well with members, to get members involved in the union, and to make sure that members understand everything that's happening to not just to our union, but to in the world around them. And, you know, so I think one of the things that we've really tried to do in this latest situation that we're talking about here, where the very survival of our unions in the public sector is being threatened. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and I think we have to stress this, that these are people that are trying to kill off unions. And this is very hard for most people, including most members, to understand that somebody actually wants to wipe out their union. And it's also very hard for people to believe that something that's here and seems so strong and has been here for so long could actually be wiped out.
Right.
So I think what we've been doing, I mean, we were always communicating, and I know that's true with so many locals in AFSCME or the teachers' unions. I know they work very hard to communicate with their members, but what we've been trying to do in the last months is to talk with every member about this case, because there's not much press coverage of it, actually. A lot of people don't know about it, and they don't know what it could mean. It sounds innocuous, hey, you know, you don't have to pay dues if you don't want to. You know, if you just hear that,
right,
maybe you think, hey, that's not so bad. So it's critically important that every member understand that this is about destroying people trying to destroy the union, and that if some people say, hey, I'm not going to pay dues, they are weakening the power of working people in this country. They are undermining the ability of working people to come together and have a voice. And every single person matters. And that's what we want every member to understand. You matter. For you to say, well, hey, I think I won't pay any dues, that has consequences. That's an example for the person next to you to say, hey, maybe I won't pay any dues either, right?
Right.
And so I think it's critically important to engage every single employee that we represent. Every single union member has to be aware of this case, has to be aware of what it means, and has to be aware of the consequences for their own actions.
I know that at DC 37, as we've talked more about this case, and we've talked about what's at stake and how it's an attack on the ability to collectively bargain and workers' rights, the DC 37 membership has certainly responded by the thousands. They've rejected this. We've got fewer agency fee payers and more membership cards on file than ever before in the history of the union. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think people want to belong to something that matters, that matters in their lives.
Right. That's a really good point. And I would stress too, and you know this as well as I do, sometimes it's just like bureaucratic problems where an employer handles the cards wrong. A lot of people who have been fee payers thought they were members.
That's right. That's
right.
You
know? I mean, they didn't even realize that they were not union members. And when we go out to talk to people and we say, hey, do you know you're not a full dues paying member? They're like, I'm not.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, how do I sign up? How do I be a full dues paying member?
No, so that's true. A lot of people would just never ask before.
Right. So, I mean, I think that this process has been really eye-opening, and we've been doing the same kind of thing that you're describing here in Illinois, as happened at DC 37. So I think that level of membership outreach is extremely important, and obviously it's something that is going to have to continue, because one of the things that I just want to stress, Chris, is that, you know, the labor movement, we still have so few resources compared to the rich and powerful who are trying to destroy us, and especially I'm thinking of financial resources. And they are going to launch the most ferocious campaign to try to get union members to drop out that we have ever seen. You know, they've already banked $80 million just for that purpose. They are going to be sending emails to union members. They're all with this message, this destructive message of, hey, you can drop out and the union will still have to take care of you, you know.
And this is a concerted effort. This is a national network of union busters, and they're trying to dupe public employees into surrendering their bargaining power by saving a couple of bucks on the union dues, right?
Exactly.
Hey, you can save money, and they're going to try to reach people by mail. They're going to try to reach people on the phone, via the internet. They may even show up at the door, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I think it's very important to alert union members to that so that people are aware of what's coming and prepared for it. Otherwise, you can get confused. They're going to try every trick in the book. You know, they're going to be saying, hey, we believe in the union too. We just think this is a better way to have a union. The lies, the deception, and the money that is going to be expended once this ruling comes down in trying to get people to opt out of the union are going to be so intense. And as you said, it's so ironic. There's never been a campaign like this that I know of where there's been a concerted effort to get people to effectively stab themselves in their own back.
Right, exactly.
And if you think about that, that's like just mind-boggling that someone would take a knife and reach around. It's a little hard to do. Reach around and stab themselves in the back. But that's what this is about. It's about getting workers to aid and abet the demise of their own power.
And this group, let's be clear, there is a name. State Policy Network is an umbrella of more than 100 anti-union, anti-worker affiliates across the country. They have been operating in Orange County, California. They've been up in Oregon. And there is no reason to believe that they're not going to be in New York. I don't know what your experience is with them in Illinois.
Well, we have them. Illinois Policy Institute has been up and running for more than 5 years now. They have waged numerous campaigns. And again, when I say, you know, that here's a group that has advocated the abolition of public employee pensions. They came out with a plan to fire every state employee and rehire them with no pension benefits whatsoever. They have been consistently attacking public sector workers as lazy and incompetent. And yet these same people are the people that are going to call up union members and tell them, hey, I'm your friend. I have a plan to help you. All you have to do is drop out of your union.
Right.
Now, obviously, you hope and you pray that no employee is going to be duped by people who are trying to destroy them into signing an opt-out card, you know, and thinking they're going to save a few dollars when, in fact, they're jeopardizing their entire future.
I just want to do this before I forget. If the ruling goes against, if it's an adverse Janus ruling, what they will have done is, in fact, made so-called right to work the law of the land for public employees. And I just wanted to remind listeners of what Martin Luther King Jr. said nearly 60 years ago about so-called right-to-work laws. He said, quote, "We must guard against being fooled by false slogans such as right-to-work. It is a law to rob us of our civil rights and job rights. Its purpose is to destroy labor unions and the freedom of collective bargaining by which unions have improved wages and working conditions of everyone. Wherever these laws have been passed, wages are lower, job opportunities are fewer, and there are no civil rights. This fraud must be stopped." Martin Luther King, 1961. And we're still having this fight.
And you know what's so tragic? It's actually gotten worse since his time. And, you know, here's someone laying out so clearly the dangers that that law represents. And yet, all too often, we see people being duped by the phrase, by the promise of saving a few dollars, and duped into giving up their rights, jeopardizing their future. It's really a tragic situation when it happens. And obviously, I know DC 37 is. I know other AFSCME councils are. We're doing everything we can. I know the teachers union, the firefighters union, everybody is working to make sure that union members understand that people who are out to destroy your union, people who have advocated to take away your rights, people who want to take away your pension benefits, people who want to make sure that seniority is not a factor on the job, people who want to do away with public sector pay plans, these people are your enemies. These are people that want to wreak havoc with your standard of living, that want to undermine the future of your family. They're not your friends. And it would be foolhardy in the extreme to listen to or believe anything they say to you.
AFSCME Council 31 Executive Director Roberta Lynch, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be with you.
All right. That's just about all the time we've got. I've got a couple of announcements before we go. You can find out about the issues impacting your community by attending a DC 37 Political Action Community Association meeting near you. For more information, call 212-815-1550. And the Municipal Employees Legal Services reminds you that they provide legal representation to members when applying for citizenship. For more information, call 212-815-1818 or check out the website dc37.net. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.